How Long Gone is here, a rare Saturday episode because Chris is going to be traveling yet again. Get this guy a frequent flyers card. I think you're going to be racking up minutes and getting savings. What's going on over there, buddy?
Well, it's another snow day here in beautiful Manhattan. And so I've been trekking around wearing my Solomon snow cross zipped up to kind of deal with the elements.
Solomon's getting a lot of ink lately in my life. Carolyn just got a pair of Solomons.
I mean I wouldn't wear any of them except this pair because they're cooked at this point, but it's the best snowshoe on our, because it's like a boot and it zips up the front so it's fully sealed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like truly step in a puddle, which is quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, that's what's going on here. It's a hellscape, and I'm going
to... Got your foot looking like an Asian baby on Instagram, huh?
Exactly.
All zipped up, looking like, good.
Exactly. Yeah, we got my foot all zipped up. But yeah, I'm getting prepared to fly for 14 hours tomorrow to the beautiful city of Seoul. and I'm a little...
How's your conversational Korean? I know written is fine for you, but it's been a while, right?
It's a strong point. I was actually talking to Issy Wood about it this morning because she went there and had a blast. And she was joking with me about when you tell them you're vegetarian there, they just give you like kimchi and like corn soup.
Yeah, yeah.
So I told the... Yeah, I just told the, and they're like, don't worry, I think it's like we're going to like a Korean barbecue. I'm like, oh great, so my clothes are gonna smell bad and I'm gonna be hungry. This is a lose-lose for me.
That is truly your worst nightmare, those two things. In many ways.
Yeah, but you know, Jason, I think I'm trying to kind of, I'm trying to take myself out of my comfort zone. Honestly, that I'm like,
what happened? What changed? Is there a health scare? What's going on?
No, my health is good, I think, thanks to Nutrafol. But no, I think that it's just when things like this come across your desk, it would be silly to not do them because of slight inconveniences and discomforts that you're gonna experience. You know what I mean? Like an all expenses paid trip to Korea, a place I've never been before that will absolutely be, I feel like maybe Egypt, but I feel like it's gonna feel like the most foreign thing I've ever done in my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good for me.
Not the most foreign thing I've ever done.
but you know what I mean. Like I think that, like,
yeah, no, of course, it'll be the most culture shock that you have compared to your day to day lifestyle in every way. I mean, I don't think your Egyptian is any good either. But
I mean, I think they even just have more English speaking.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
For whatever reason. But I was with David Cho yesterday, known Korean.
Yeah, he was beasting in the Korean game.
He's like so bummed. He's like, if I could have made it work at all to go at the same time, I want to see you in this environment bad.
Me too. Me too.
I'm like, guys, I'm not, I can roll with it. Like, I'm not a fucking lunatic. Like, I can operate.
Being a lunatic about this kind of stuff is sort of your stock and trade in so many ways.
Yeah, but I'm saying like a lunatic as far as like, of course I'll have complaints, but overall, I'm sure I'll enjoy myself. Like, it's going to be a nice experience and I'm going to see things I've never seen before. That's valuable to me. And helps you grow as a person. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not to go better help on you, but I'm just like...
Obviously, I'm happy to hear this, but, you know, it's whenever Chris says, you know, I'm turning over a new leaf, I look at the camera like Jim on The Office, you know, because it's...
Well, I'm not...
What's going on here?
Do not put me in a Dwight K. Schrute corner, first of all, but I think that it's just... That's how things like this, you have to look at things like this that way. Because what other, I mean.
I support it.
You know, because how else can you look at it? Like, I'm going to be annoyed because, like, the food isn't exactly what I want. Like, of course, but I can't make it, like, an issue.
Right. Yeah, and when you put it that way, what place regularly does have food that you actively want and enjoy?
Yeah.
You're almost always compromised culinarily.
Yeah, you're right. Besides New York or LA.
I mean, unless you're eating your acai bowl in your car, you're going to have complaints.
No, first of all, you know, I don't eat in the car. Do not put that on me. Eating in the car is savage, disgusting behavior.
Hey.
But I will say I haven't been hungover in so long that I might not understand it in the same way that someone like you might.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
And also, don't sleep. Speaking of eating in your car, get a little bit of that Freddie Mall room spray from our friends over at Mika. Oh man, it'll knock that in and out smell out of your car in no time.
I gotta be honest with the car. I always want my car to be so new that there's kind of just a lingering new car smell that's natural, and I would never deodorize in any way.
So you're natty. You're natty as it pertains to the car smells.
I go absolutely natty. My car smells have no Botox, no fillers.
But okay, well this is cool and interesting, and it also brings me to a topic that a listener sent me a DM when we were talking about the coffee temperature ratio kind of thing. When we were talking about that, we're not going to talk about that anymore because there's not much to talk about. But somebody was saying, when I was listening to Chris talk about temperature problems that he has with the hot and the cold, it was further confirming their suspicions of your level of autism. What say you, Chris?
I mean, what's more annoying to bring up, autism or AI? Which one is more overused? Which one do you think is more overused? Not liking two things together does not make you autistic. It makes you a person that doesn't like something.
Well, I think much like Young Thug on Trial, this is just one page in the dossier that someone has built around your mental state.
I whoever said this to you, I would love for you to reveal yourself so I can tell you to go fuck yourself. But I think that
I don't think there's anything wrong with being autistic, Chris.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being autistic, but I think that this is exactly the kind of thing. This is the problem, is that term has been bastardized to the point where I don't think people even know what it means anymore. And they just say it.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to like, that looks like AI. Everything's AI. Oh, is that ChatGPT? Like, shut up, you fucking nerds. Like, it's so insanely boring to say stuff like that to me. I can't believe it. How much I have to hear it.
To me, it's not as bad as saying things are vibes, because that really doesn't mean anything.
Agreed. Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think vibes is the old, like, vibes, we've just kind of moved a little bit past vibes, and now this is the phase we're in. Yeah. But it's all in the same family of annoyance.
They're also the through line that I've found here is they're all in the same family of, these are things that we all feel and sense, but we're unable to maybe put in words.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, educating yourself, learning, working hard to try and figure out what this thing means to you and describe it with the respect, you're just like, I don't know, it's like vibes.
Yeah.
No. And then everyone else is like, good enough. And you're like, what is going on with this person's personality? And they're like, you know, they're kind of on the spectrum. And most people like you are like,
yeah, please.
What do you mean? Say any other signifying words other than, you know, it's giving autistic. But it's also a thing where it's like, if you know, you know. If it's a feeling that you can't put into words.
It's a weak term. It's honestly weird. I've never said that word to describe something. And I've also never, I try to not talk about AI and ChatGPT no matter what, because they're two things that I just,
all of my notes for today's episode.
Those are just two things I really do not identify with or find interesting to talk about. You know what I mean? I just think
you don't identify as an AI knower of AI?
Well, no, but because people are AI paranoid is what it is. They think it's funny to say everything looks like AI when it's like, no, that's Facetune, or no, that's, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is. Like, saying something is AI is not funny. It's not clever, and it's not even really.
Well,
like,
what if they're not trying to be funny or clever? What if something, you know, because people are saying that kind of thing where, you know, like if you watch a Mr. Beast video and you look at the way he smiles, you're like, there's something very unnatural, unhuman,
Mr. Beast,
satanic about this.
No, he doesn't look satanic. He just looks gay. That little smile he has on when he's standing next to Kim Kardashian is not a smile of a straight man standing next to Kim Kardashian.
I don't think so. Mr. Beast
needs to come out, and he'll make even more money. Can you imagine if Mr. Beast stunts were now gay stunts? Oh, baby.
gay stunts? what would they be? It's like,
I don't know. It's just it would just be a little bit different, you know, if he was gay. That's all. It would just be a little bit different. I think it's time for him to come out. That's all.
Okay, Mr. Beast.
Look at this face. Look at this face. Look at the face. Mr. Beast, Kim Kardashian. I saw this morning.
No, I mean, I've thought about his face and his smile many times, and you know, there's something completely. People have tried to think about it and figure out what his smile is, and it's so. To me, it's the face of Lucifer. To me, it is Satan herself.
No. He's just another gay YouTuber.
I guess maybe he is gay. So one of his most popular ones, I didn't eat food for 30 days. Okay, that's gay as hell.
So sick. No, that's not. That's actually cool.
He was trying a theory to test his Crohn's disease in this experiment.
Okay, hold on. To be fair,
he managed to stay without food for almost 14 days.
I love talking about Crohn's disease because it's something that I remember, like, a guy in the, like, Atlanta hardcore scene had Crohn's disease, and people, like, whispered about it, like he had, like, some flesh-eating bacteria, everybody like it was super rare, and I come to find out that Crohn's disease is basically, like, not that rare. It's bad, but it's not rare at all, really, and it happens quite often.
Name a Hadid who doesn't have it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's no limes, but it's, you know, it's different.
I saw your little Crohn's. It's no limes, but it's
not,
okay.
It's no limes, but I didn't know that Mr. Beast suffered from that. But
as a content creator, yeah. Okay, then another one. I survived 24 hours straight in ice. He made a house out of ice. And he said he doesn't want to do that challenge ever again. But
yeah, you think?
Name a gay guy that you know that isn't always cold, right?
That's a good point.
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. Mm. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off. That's more than half at babbel.com/howlong, spelled BABBEL.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
But it's more like his face. I do see the satanic angle, but there's something about his like rosy little cheeks when he's smiling that to me feels like he's looking for dick. That's where my head goes. No pun intended.
He's sniffing on sniffies.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about him, to be honest, except that he's, is he like the biggest YouTuber? Is he like the number one?
Yeah, Yes.
Okay. Okay. And I know he does all these stunts and he, the whole thing, but I didn't know if he was number one. But he gives away a lot of money, so I think he gets a pass from people.
Well, that's why, because he has a guilty conscience because he is Lucifer incarnate.
He has a guilty conscience because he's a...
It's the same thing when everyone is defending mafia warlords because they're going in and dropping off turkeys out of the back of a truck on Thanksgiving.
Don't talk
to third world countries.
Don't talk about Young Jeezy like that, bro. He gives those turkeys.
I'm not talking about Jeezy. I'm talking about, you know, like fucking El Chapo and shit. I mean, or just like every mafia cartel.
Yeah, no, of course they provide.
You know, they're loved in the streets and hated by my government.
I think that,
you know, kind of vibe.
Being a famous YouTuber, that money is dirty to me than if you're selling drugs. Is the reality?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because a drug dealer won't sell to a fucking 8-year-old, but Mr. Beast will.
at least drugs are cool. There's nothing cool about being a YouTuber, except you make a lot of money, but you have to do. I mean, do you remember like when the Jake Paul and all that, and they had the content houses? Like, I would watch some of that stuff, and it was just absolutely insane. Like, they would just wake up at 1 p.m. and decide to like, oh man, we're going to make the living room a ball pit and then we're going to jump off the third floor. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And we'll have a four-wheeler, and it really is the bottom of the bottom.
But it's the bottom of the bottom because it's for children. It's just like superhero movies and cartoons. It's for children.
Yeah, but it might be for children, but that's not who's watching it. They are watching it, but there's a lot more people watching it. A lot of adults watch Mr. Beast.
A lot of adults watch it, but I think it's more skewed toward, I mean, it, to me, it's the same. It's like the body and the flesh are different sizes and ages, but the mental, you know, the dopamine hit that you get from our simple-minded adults is the same as, you know, imagine being 7 years old and you have an iPad in your hand and you could click a button and you watch a guy turn his living room into a bounce house and then you drive a motorcycle in the kitchen.
That's pretty sick.
The coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. So, of course, it's going to be sick. And then, you know, there are many, many, many people with low IQ levels in our amazing country of America, as well as the world, who are going
to... I would say that the low IQ level, though, I think that applies to people watching Succession and shit like that, too. Like, I think it's like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think...
But you have to have a high enough IQ to understand these references talking about.
No, you fucking don't, bro. They just talk fast. It's not even... They're not making... This stuff isn't... People want it to make them feel more intelligent because they're dealing with a lot of dialogue and it's fast and they're rich. It's just entertainment. It's all entertainment is what
I'm
saying.
But if your IQ is too low to understand a single thing that they're talking about, what is keeping your interest? What is keeping you engaged?
I don't think it's that. I think you're giving it a lot more credit than it deserves. I don't think it's that highbrow from an entertainment perspective.
I don't think it's that highbrow either, but you're equating it to something for low IQ people or children, which I don't agree with.
Well, I think that these things.
I mean, obviously you hate it, so you're biased.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. I think entertainment at a certain level is like if something's that popular, it's appealing to a pretty low common denominator.
Yeah, but I would say Succession. You know, average what Nielsen odds 3 million, something like that. So it's not really popular. And Mr. Beast does 3 million in
sure
he does a hundred million per video.
My point is that the line between what is highbrow and lowbrow is very thin, and I think there are a lot of people that are doing both. If it's not Mr. Beast, it's something like it. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't appeal to the low brow with your content, especially, let's say, a film or a limited series, no one will ever see it because it'll never get made because it's not a business.
Oh, it's definitely not a business.
It's a charity case if it ever gets made.
Now I want to go watch some Mr. Beast videos.
I tried to watch it. It was...
I've never watched one recently. I just know the name.
Because I was just so curious, because every time I would see his face on a thumbnail, I got an ick that is so far beyond what Taylor felt watching Kelsey scream into a microphone in a low IQ kind of way. In a way where like a monkey or a dog realizes if it sits and it gets a treat, the delight on one's face, that kind of vibe.
Viva Las Vegas!
I mean, It makes Stone Cold Steve Austin look like Nikolai Tesla, this guy.
No, it does. It really does.
So, but I watched a Mr. Beast. I watched a latent Mr. Beast video. Just I had to, you know, the curiosity was killing me.
Sure.
And it was a video where they dug a giant hole somewhere in the desert in Barstow, okay, or I don't know. Big asshole. And then they had a tug of war between a train and two school buses. So found a train track, built a train track.
This sounds pretty good. This sounds pretty crazy.
And that, well, the dark part of it is you're watching a real train and two school buses in a tug of war. Spoiler alert, the train wins.
Mm.
It's just got more torque. I mean, it's not okay. That hard.
No, you don't say.
And don't it's, do and that, we're Jason. On dirt, don't ruin it for you know, the people. School bus that, wheels that are spinning. Rude. Anyway, but yeah, the oddest part about it is they took the time and the money to literally film these real things happening, but the majority of the footage is computer generated CGI. So it's mixed in.
Hold on. You're saying that? You know that for a fact, or you're saying you think that?
No, you could tell. You can tell. Anyone can tell if you do some I forgot what the word for it or the phrase for it. It's like pixel plucking or something like that. Like anyone who pays close attention, basically the point I'm saying is what we were talking about before, where if you are a simple-minded person, a low IQ person, or a child under 8 years old, it's good enough for you because you don't even consider it being CGI or AI to be an option. You're just like, this looks good enough for me. Me like watching me hit thumbs up instead of thumbs down. But if somebody's like, hey, watch this video and let me know if you think it's CGI or AI or not, then you'll easily be able to tell. You'll be able to tell if you watch it. But
this sounds like a Them Jeans conspiracy theory, if I'm being completely honest with you. But go ahead.
Pull it up right now, bitch.
I thought you were saying that they like explained part of this, but you're saying you just have an eye for this because you've seen so many Fast and Furious films that you can pick out CGI.
I think that many people can pick out CGI.
I do too. But you're saying parts of this are real, so they had to spend the money and do the whole thing to some extent.
Yes. So like if you look in the thumbnail of the video, even though they dug a real hole in the real world and Mr. Beast is a real person with a real face, somewhere, somehow, they decided that it's better to recreate his body, his face, and this giant hole and a train digitally.
I guess I'm confused. I just don't understand why you would go to all the trouble and then do CGI.
Because the people watching
it doesn't make sense.
Don't care or know or anything.
But that's making me doubt your
claims. It lies my point. That is the question.
I don't think that, I guess that's still cheaper, I guess.
You want to put some money on it?
No, I don't want to put any money on it. It just seems...
Well, I think maybe, so it opens up with Mr. Beast on a train track, standing on a train track in a real dirt land, but a train is zooming by him and the train is fake. I mean, it really is real and fake mixed in together. I mean, I would bet my life on it.
I mean, the explosions are definitely fake.
No, some of them are real, some of them aren't.
I'm seeing what you're saying now, and this is a extremely twisted style of content creation.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like I didn't know it looked like this.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the like CGI vibe. Just the whole thing looks insane.
Yeah, man. And you can buy Mr. Beast football. Mr. Beast chocolate bars, and it's all sold out. Like you try to buy a Mr. Beast bar, sold out.
I'm on the Beast store right now. He's got activewear. Oh, he's got I can get the Beast basketball for $25.
He's got it all. It is Satan. It is evil.
It's very cool that on his like sweat wicking T-shirt it says "Make the world a better place." Mr. Beast product development code. And then has like a number.
I mean, and the sheer irony that he's the least looking beastly person who's ever walked the planet Earth.
Yeah, beast is not a term I would use to describe him based only on his physical appearance. If we're basing on his numbers, he's a fucking beast.
Yeah, he's beasting in the clicks.
He's beasting,
but he also is giving. If a ladybug landed on his shoulder, he would wet himself. Is sort of his level of bestiality.
For sure, For sure.
Bestiology.
Bestiality. Did you see that Lil Jon put out a meditation album?
No.
A guided meditation album.
That reminds me of the Chappelle. Do you remember when Chappelle would do Lil Jon? And he would play Lil Jon as like a dignified kind of scholar type of person. That was so funny. And he would just be like, what do you think about that, Lil Jon?
yeah, you're
what?
Right.
I'm sorry. What?
The
what?
Pardon me, just one more question. Yeah.
the in this interview with Rolling Stone, he said that basically he was going through a divorce, mm-hmm. and he was just super emotional, and he got into meditation and it worked for him, and so he wanted to kind of do the project.
Have you listened to it? Is it through the Calm app?
No, I think it's a full album.
Is it through the Cookies app?
No, I think it's a full, no, it's on, yeah, no, it's on Spotify. It's just a full album. But it's just,
okay,
this is it's we're in a post Andre 3000 flute album world,
mm-hmm.
where everybody thinks they can do this, and it's,
well, I mean, mental health is actually gangster when you really think about it.
No, mental health is super cool.
I mean, I think it's good. I think it's positive. I think it's healthy. And I think it's nice to sort of shed a light on the fact that, you know, these people who get big and famous being a person, you know, and he was known as this crazy wild party guy who's screaming and yelling and turning down for what and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, every rapper, when you meet them, is just a normal guy. It's just kind of like a regular dude, especially that kind of older generation, maybe not so much with the NBA young boys. And
I was about to say, I don't know if you could kick it with NBA young boy and just have a smoothie and a chat, but with, I agree with you, with a certain elder statesman,
right?
I think you're right. They're businessmen at a certain,
well,
point.
It's just kind of from the school of it being not unlike a wrestling character or a fictional character. It's like, you know, I'm a studio rat. I really like making music, and I'm classically trained, and I have Fruity Loops, and I worked hard, and I love music. I don't fucking shoot people for a living.
No, I just do it for obviously. Fun. It's not for money. That's a different thing.
And I also do pay for sex. Even though I rap about not.
I think it's cool too. I mean, I don't know financially how well it will do, but I guess that's not a concern. You know what I mean? That's not you're
one
just
for you,
back.
One for them. Nobody ever makes an ambient album to make money. That's you do it because it's inside of you and it has to come out.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that? Wow, that was really good. Have you practiced that before, or was that kind of just natural to you?
What?
You're a fucking idiot. Okay, damn. I knew you were kind of nasty with the impressions, but shit, you're going off.
I had not been practicing that. That was just I channeled the spirit.
Well,
of
mean,
Lil Jon.
You've probably played more Lil Jon than most people, based on your kind of your heyday. I would guess you had to play that a little bit, even though that's not really your flavor. It's still a crowd pleaser.
No, there was a. Bum, 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 bum,
oh yeah, 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 know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've played a lot of Lil Jon. A lot of Lil Jon.
God, he's got hits. He's got big hits.
He's got hits, and you don't need opposable thumbs to play his music on a piano either. You can just kind of drop a rock on a piano.
you're gonna get the chord.
I could teach Margo or Bean how to all of his chords.
hey, come over here. You guys sit down. I'm going to show you how to play a Lil Jon song.
Mm-hmm.
That could be your kind of foray into YouTube, is you teaching your dogs how to play piano. I think that's a great idea for kind of some content creation.
Yeah, I'll add that to the docket.
Please.
So much going on, but that does feel like it should take a precedence.
It feels like we should bump it up on the list. Yeah, at least minimal.
I wanted to talk. You sent me the video of the announcement of the Met Gala co-chairs.
I actually did.
I feel like somebody else did. Was that Cho?
I didn't send that, but you're talking about the video that's like it's like a text.
Yeah, it's like a message bubble chat between.
Yeah.
You know. a collection of people who have never spoken before in their entire life.
I wish that was true, but I do think that there is a level of famous people that just know each other.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're a certain level of fame, you've met each other at least. I would say, but they're definitely not homies. No, absolutely.
Okay,
not.
So the Met Gala announced its co-chairs: J Lo, Zendaya, Bad Bunny, and Chris Hemsworth. And the theme is Garden of Time. And I thought it was good. The bad part was it was using an animated text message bubble chat for the Met Gala in 2024. A concept and idea that has been fucked out and hasn't been interesting or novel since 2017, you know, like complex con marketing or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like using emojis, it's like fucking a Clorox commercial from 11 years ago. But what I liked about it, or what was bittersweet, is they inform you with visual representation of what our chair in chief and our Wintour considers an example of the theme, because
yeah, it's helpful.
The Garden of Time, what the fuck does that mean? So it shows, you know, Hemsworth or someone showing like, do you mean like this? And
yeah,
and Wintour's like, no, retard, it's actually this, and then shows a picture of a thing. So
I like that too. It's smart.
It's smart to do that, but it's also like, can you show me an example of a piece of clothing that could capture that spirit?
No, the creativity is left to the guest. You can't give them the full keys.
Okay.
But I think that Chris Hemsworth will come up with an amazing pair of board shorts to wear to this. And I think he'll look so great in kind of like a long hem t-shirt and some kind of and some Quicksilver board shorts. Maybe a pair of Havaianas.
I've got my James Purse long shorts on because I hate gardens, but I love time, so that's why I was so excited about this year.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah, from cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric. What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG.
Well, we were talking before about the emotional support animals, how there should be sort of a committee that judges, that lets you in or out, you know, if whether or not you should be allowed in.
Talking about that. I'm saying it's almost always a lie and we should ban it. But yes,
I was suggesting that there's a, you know, when you know it, you know it, just like AI and CGI. But when I think that there should be a more strictly enforced rule with the theme of the Met Gala, because every year my biggest pet peeve on the red carpet is when some dumbass person who doesn't even know what the Met Gala is shows up in a look that has nothing to do with the theme whatsoever. They don't know. They don't care. They choose not to participate in this one thing that you kind of have to do. I feel like that person should not be allowed in, or they should be put into a separate area.
I mean,
you know, like you don't get a, like, oh, like you read the assignment, you understood it and you completed it. You get a wristband.
No,
come on in.
I think the whole point is that they are, it's left to the interpretation. So you can't really say to someone like, yeah, this doesn't feel like the theme, but the theme is so kind of up in the air and unclear.
No, you can't really
enforce
that.
You can't enforce that. You can't enforce that.
You can. You can. When the theme is just like, you know, like the Victorian era, and like Ellen shows up wearing like a baby blue fucking suit supply jacket, you're like, okay, well, you didn't even try. You don't care to participate. So you're allowed to come into the Met Gala. You only get well cocktails and you have to stand in this area over here. We'll let you walk the carpet, but the photographers sort of know not to really give you any light.
I mean, I wish that's how things worked. Unfortunately, it is merely a game of famous people, and it doesn't really matter what they wear. But I agree.
I know Wintour is listening. Come on, bro. Or at least let the public speak and have Chris and I on the red carpet with our, you know, our E microphones. And when somebody walks up and be like, you know what? You did it. You read the assignment. You tried. You're participating. You know, it's like the one guy who doesn't dress up for Halloween but wants to go to the Halloween party. You should feel like a fool.
I would agree with that to an extent.
If you hate playing dress up so much, don't come to the dress up party.
No, but themes are stupid. Like a theme birthday party, any theme is dumb. Like it just like, because all you really want is celebrities to look hot. That's what makes something like this successful.
Mm-mm.
So the more extreme the themes get, the more difficult it is, and there's no reason to make it difficult.
Well, it gives you a chance to gain the respect and adoration and your flowers by doing an amazing job at dressing for the occasion and the theme perfectly. If you don't look good, if you're an ugly person and you don't have a lot going for you in the looks department, You could stuff.
Yeah, because that's who's getting. Yeah, that's who's getting invited to the Met Gala. A lot of people that are hurting in the looks
There's
department.
Some,
I don't know if you've seen.
Some people are hotter than others. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of not baddies, non tens attending the Met Gala.
No, of course,
because of their level of fame or accolades or success or accomplishments in life, and those people might not necessarily get the shine and the adoration and people talking about them because they don't look as good as Brad Pitt or Sydney Sweeney, but if they come with an amazing look,
bro,
then everyone's going to be talking about
them. Let me tell you something. Your look can be amazing. You still ain't going to look better than Brad Pitt or Sydney Sweeney if you ain't. I don't care how much. Damn. I don't care how on theme you are. Like, there's something that will always trump the theme.
You unfortunately said about the straightest thing you've ever said in your life.
I mean, it's true.
You're not beating the gay allegations when you say that.
I mean,
or you are beating the gay allegations when you say that.
It's true. Male, female, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The theme is merely a suggestion because I think it has to. It like makes it fun for someone. I'm not sure who exactly.
Okay, is a dress code a suggestion?
Depending on the event, yeah. I mean, like this trip I'm about to go into Korea is they say it needs to be smart casual, but like I don't really know what that means, so I'm gonna wear my normal clothes, you know. Or like a wedding, and like if it's creative black tie, everyone knows that doesn't mean anything. No one knows what that means. You know, like it doesn't, like, what does that mean? So I wear a tuxedo but it's like a weird color, like what is
yeah
is, no, but that's lame. Like a tuxedo should be black or very, very dark blue.
Well, I
or
mean,
white
straight people should know. Straight people shouldn't know or be invited to things that are, what did you say? It was black tie.
Creative black tie. I've been
invited. You knowing that phrase, now I mean, you're back into the gay category. You're back into the cis plus.
I'm sorry I get invited to, you know, things that aren't baby showers in Altadena, but you know, sometimes this is what this dude duty calls. You know what I mean? I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you, but
I've been invited to a lot of these things as well. Cocktail, black tie, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I've been invited to anything creative black tie like that. I mean, I've been to a wedding that was absolutely creative black tie, but you know, it's more so when you disobey the thing and you're the one person who's not participating in it, when it is black tie and you're the one person who's wearing some khakis and shit.
Oh, then I would always, yeah, but that's the thing. But that's what I'm trying to say to you. Black tie is a very clear thing. We all know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of made up fairy tale themes for the Met Gala are,
you don't know what the Garden of Time means?
Exactly. It's so hard to penetrate what that is as an idea that there is more people are going to fuck
up
than
succeed. Than being my favorite Spokane, Washington watch store, I have never seen any other looks that have anything to do with the Garden of Time.
No, I mean, I don't know what that means, but I know what black tie means. I sort of know what cocktail means.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think. But then people, I mean, I've seen wilder shit than that. Nothing's coming to mind, but I've seen some stuff that's like, what the fuck does that mean? Like for an event or for like a wedding especially.
Yeah, true.
You know, like Italian summer. It's like, what does that mean? Like, you want me to look like a scumbag wearing fake off-white? Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know what you mean.
No.
And you always have to ask. Then you always have to ask, like, especially if it's like our friend. You know what I mean?
I've never had to ask.
Oh, I've asked, but not for myself. Because Alex will be like, what the fuck does that mean? Can you ask your friend? And then the friend
that's your job as a fashion bitch to tell her.
But the friend doesn't know
either. Don't embarrass the family.
The friend doesn't know either, so the friend has to ask the woman. It's, you know what I mean? Like, the no guy knows what this shit means. Like, it's just not what we...
Everyone, you know exactly what Italian summer means. It's when whatever outfit you have on your first photo from your Sicilian vacation carousel post... It's a linen pant. It's a Jacques Mou resort. It's light and
first,
casual.
First
but
of all,
it's
no
nice.
no one wears Jacques Mou. Just so you understand, that's not a part of the conversation. No one's ever going to wear that. But I think that there is.
No one's ever worn Jacques Mou. I thought they're like a decently sized clothing company.
No, it's over. I mean, yeah, it's doing well, but it's lame now. It's like not good. Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean, the men's was never good. Like, the men's was atrocious always, but it does. The reason you're saying this is because the men's did. It felt like it was just 100 shirts that looked like this description.
Yeah. I mean, I have a pair of Jacques Mou summer, Italian summer resorty pants in my closet right now. I wore them in one of our Matches Fashion photo shoots that was styled by my wife and the good people at Matches Fashion. Did you have something bad to say about that?
No, but I mean, if you want to wear, that's on you, bro. You couldn't catch me dead in that, but that's for you. Okay. By all means. I mean, it's different.
I was wearing that while you were wearing underwear on a exercise bike, so
yeah, and that still looks better than most Jacques Mou, just for the record. Like, that is, I would probably rather
I'm not here to defend Jacques Mou. He is a close friend. You could think however you want to think about his styling choices.
Unfortunately,
but
what happens with a guy like that, and this is it's happened before, he's too good looking and he became too intertwined with celebrities, and I think people were just like, this is corny now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's kind of no fault of his own, really. But it's like, it just, people just, it's like Kelsey and fucking Taylor Swift. People just turn on you at a certain point.
What can be done to prevent that?
Not much. I mean, he's rich. Who gives a shit?
It's the curse of being too good looking and having Jenna want to hang out with him.
I think that you could probably not get photographed with the Kardashians. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's probably part of it. But I think also, like,
who's going to say no to that?
No, of course. I mean, I that's what I mean. It's a strange predicament. But also, like, the show in South of France, like, the front row was Jack Harlow next to Julia Roberts.
Funny.
And it just feels like that's insane, kind of, like, where it's just like, what celebrities can we get? Like, who can we get here right now? And it doesn't feel like that, just kind of destroys a
Jacques
brand's
Mou,
DNA.
Come on the pod. We want to turn this brand around. You're too hot to let go.
No, that's Jason. Let me be clear. The brand is doing financially just fine. Mm-hmm. There's no, I don't think there's an issue with the finances.
But the cool
is,
kids of fashion like you and so many others have written it off.
I just think I think the clothes just got bad and the Nike was bad. Like, a shoe collaboration can like make or break.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That Bodhi Nike that everybody's talking about is good and it will sell and it'll be a big deal. And that's mm-hmm. like something you can't, Like that will change your life.
Regardless of the brand and the collaboration, a good shoe is a good shoe. It's going to sell. People are going to want it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know what Bodhi did with that shoe, which is really interesting, is that the first time it was seen after the lookbook was on an athlete, which seemed like really smart. Like I think it was a football player wore it and he looked good. He looked cool. Where, you know, it's smart, but the Jacquemus Nikes were ass.
Yeah.
They're ass.
They were
terrible
bad.
Shoe. The dime square outdoor dinner party didn't help either. but that was for the Nike shoe. But this is besides the point. This is besides the point. Italian summer cocktail is a look that I will not be participating in. That's where I say no to the theme, Jason. That's where I say no.
And I remember you saying no to that theme at my wedding.
Did I? I just wore a suit. I look normal.
No, we did not have a dress code for the wedding.
But the problem is people try to get creative and it's like, don't get creative. Especially men. Like men, if you put on a suit, you're going to look better almost 99% of the time if you try to get creative. It's just not like most people just
well,
can't
Chris,
do it.
Well, Chris, part of your autism is being risk averse is what it sounds like.
But it's not about being risk averse. It's about being, you look like a clown. Like you don't, like if somebody, if you're
it
told.
It is exactly about being risk averse. You're saying don't try to take any chances. Just put on the Tom Brown tuxedo and then never divert from that.
No. I'm saying that if the dress code is a suit or black tie, then do that. Don't try to wear something that circumvents the dress code that you think works because it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's like when I circumvent the wedding registry. 9 times out of 10, that doesn't work.
Exactly. See, you understand now. You understand. No,
if you don't like any of these Le Creuset colors, cash is fine. No. Slow down.
We'll figure it out. No, that's fair.
That just feels impersonal to me.
I mean, I just think that there are like where people are everyone thinks they're creative. Everyone thinks they have swag. Everyone mm-hmm. thinks they can dress. And most people can't. And that's just and
okay.
The more you experiment, the worse it gets. That's just true. And that being said, Jason, I want to be very clear. I've made several mistakes. But the thing is, I'm old enough now to know where my zone is and I can stay in that zone.
Well, I think maybe I shouldn't be so worried about your outrageous claims because you're speaking to an audience of people who needs to hear this versus, you know, any creative person who dresses well and oddly and funky and has weird random style but actually pulls it off and it works. They're listening to you and saying like, oh, like this, whatever Chris Black is saying right now does not apply to me because I really be dressing.
Oh, no, there are several people that are freaks that look amazing. There are people, I see them every day and I'm impressed constantly. It's inspiring. But I think as a regular guy, you just got to kind of know your boundaries. That's all. Mm. That's all I'm saying. You just got to kind of know the zone you can play in because when you get outside of that zone, it ain't working and people might be afraid to tell you that.
Okay. So who are some prime examples of males who maybe need to take a second look at their look?
Every celebrity, I think, probably.
No.
I mean, most of them. Like, what are you talking like?
We'll go Seth Rogen. Start the bidding out of Seth Rogen.
I mean, Seth Rogen is just like, he's wearing a very certain, he looks like he like goes to Mohawk and spends $300,000 and wants to look like a Silver Lake stone ceramicist, which is what he is. Mm-hmm. So it's fine, but he also looks he looks like he's trying very hard, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah. Well, he looks like a guy where like any guy is just, you know, just wearing some Levi's and a white t-shirt and whatever, a jacket or something or a sweater over it. Is always going to look great, but he might be bored with that, so he needs to have a Dijon cardigan and a corduroy trouser, and suddenly he's gone overboard, and nobody is in his life telling him whatever the opposite of looks maxing is. He needs to looks meaning.
But I get it with celebrities also because the red carpet thing is like, you want to look good, but you also feel like you need to stand out because if you don't, then you just blend in, obviously. But like mm-hmm. Dan Levy.
A lot of people have... Yeah, Dan Levy is a great example.
One of the worst dressed people of all time. But he's also a guy who's like, I love fashion. And like that makes you take risks that you shouldn't take. That's my whole point. Like liking, like I can look at stuff and like it and know that I could never wear it. And I think celebrities sometimes think they can wear it and the stylist tells them they can wear it. And mm-hmm. then we have a disaster on our hands.
Dan Levy is like, you know what? I'm going to start dressing like Amy Sedaris. I think that's a good look 100%, for me.
Yeah.
And nobody in his life said, let's try something else.
Let's just put on a suit, man. Like you're a good looking guy. We can put you in a regular ass tuxedo from Brioni and you're gonna look great, you know, but that's not fun, you know.
And he's like, no, I want to wear a archival comb corset.
Yeah, that's literally, yes, that's literally the vibe where it's like, bro, what? No one can really pull that off. Like I can't even give you credit for the attempt.
Even Lil Nas X is like, that's a little much.
Yeah, put that in the closet, Chief. You should have left that one on grailed.
Dan Levy, you think you're the shit, you're not even the fart.
But like someone like Lordy or Austin Butler, I mean, obviously they're very good looking, but they also look like kind of normal. They wear like kind of normal clothes, even if it's really expensive designer clothes, it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like, I think Austin Butler cosplays as like a working class personal, you know, he's got the Dickies and the Carhartt and all that shit, but that looks 100 times better on a guy like that than like an all pink Valentino suit.
Yeah. And also when you are incredibly good looking, like one of those people,
of course,
it is a less is more. Austin Butler's going to be wearing Gucci trousers, but you wouldn't know by looking at it because, you know, a guy who is maybe not ugly, but lesser looking is going to be wearing the Gucci trousers that have the logo embroidered all up and down it. And it's very clear what's going on. The same way you don't fucking put soy sauce on the Toro.
But we talk about, I mean, like Ethan Hawke, for example, like I'm like, this guy looks cool because he looks like he's wearing clothes that are like kind of just normal,
mm-hmm.
you know, even when it's a suit. And I just, it's like, it doesn't seem that hard to me, but I guess it is because maybe you have so much access that you just kind of want to, which I under, like if somebody's coming to you with a rack full of clothes and there's so many choices, it's probably tough to kind of understand what actually works.
It is, girl. Full-time job.
I don't know how you do it.
full-time job riding dick like a carnival.
I listened to because I heard people talking about how sick the Freddie Gibbs verse is on that album. And I
known cheek spreader Freddie Gibbs. Spready Gibbs, as Twitter is calling him.
Spready Gibbs, but unfortunately, Spready does kind of go off on that verse, because I think he can actually.
Freddie's good.
He can actually rap very well, and no one else is trying on this album to the point of like it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when he took it seriously, and it really stands out for that reason.
You're saying that. Amazing guy at rapping, Freddie Gibbs, was able to do a bar better than Ride Dick Like Carnival.
Well, I'm saying that I think
he did a better job at rapping than Checks Notes Travis Scott, a guy who is flatlined.
There's Travis Scott. Can we check on Travis? Is he actually alive right now? Can we make sure he's alive?
I mean, Live Nation has been keeping him alive since 2019 through a series of experimental injections. It's Weekend at Bernie's. I think I've made that. We've talked about that before.
Damn, Travis Scott really might be dead though. That's a new wrinkle that I haven't thought about.
Yeah, there's a good video you should watch of him. One of the times he did SNL and they do the little teaser commercials where it's the host and the musical guest. And then like one cast member, and it just shows Travis Scott, but the camera's just zoomed in on Travis Scott's face. So like you normally wouldn't pay attention to it if you're just watching it on TV, but if you only focus on Travis Scott's face, I mean, it looks like I mean, he like a guy that Howard Stern would bring out to make fun of in 1997.
Come on out here.
It's like a Beetlejuice kind of like, you know, like we don't do this kind of stuff anymore, but back in the day, we kind of made fun of people like this.
That's really funny.
It was all fucked
that's
up.
That's really funny. When's Shane Gillis on SNL? Is that tonight?
No, that's a week. That's next week.
Oh, it's next. Oh, the 24th. Okay. Mm-hmm. Might be.
Yeah, Lauren's still in LA right now. So okay.
Yeah, no, you guys have been linking and building. So it's you can just text him and find out like what's going
on. So, but speaking of looks maxing, somebody was asking, or a couple people were asking me if we could talk about that on the podcast. I don't really know what exactly to talk about, but sort of they were saying looks maxing in general, or the thing where you kind of you try to actively change the shape of your jaw and face with like mewing. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. What about it? What's there to say about it?
You tell me, podcaster. I don't know.
I mean, I this is why I don't listen to what people tell us to talk about, because usually it's bad ideas.
Well, it's usually things where like I have thoughts about this. I talk about this with my friends. It would be so goated if Hal Longan talked about it as well, but we don't. We only really talk about stuff that we would have some.
I mean, I think it's
interesting,
like,
novel point on.
I mean, sure, it's funny that people spend a fortune to get a nicer jawline, but there's nothing wrong with that, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I guess looks maxing is a positive thing on face value, and obviously, it can be abused and it can turn into a dark Patrick Bateman level obsession.
I honestly don't know what it. I don't think I know what it means. I think it's another term that exists on TikTok, and no one really knows what it means. Is it so? You're trying to make yourself better looking is called looks maxing, and the reality is all of us do that in some way.
Yeah, but I think it's sort of been gamified, or people have figured out how to use their, I guess, autistic minds and form Reddit communities and Discords about ways that they can make their body and face look better. And it's usually like, hey, I'm a coder. I make $190,000 a year. Nobody wants to fuck me, even though I have a lot of money and have a dope house and I listen to cool music and have nice clothes. People still won't fuck me. So I went on Reddit, and then this guy's like, if you do this thingy, and if you have, you know, an iron neck and your jaw thingy, you chew on this Chad gum, and here's how you do Romanian deadlifts, and here's how you use creatine the right way, and here's
skincare. I don't understand why this is bad.
Well, I think the downside of it is people can obviously become obsessed with it, and it takes over their whole entire life, and then they forget that the whole reason why they were looks maxing is so that they can maybe find a partner that they love and start a life with them, versus just like devoting every single waking moment into oftentimes spending money on things that you are hoping are going to make you look better. And then predatory corporations can prey on that, on the weakness, and take advantage of you.
I mean, this
is to our friends at Iron Neck.
This is just weak people. I don't understand. Like
you're so only ugly people looks max.
No, I'm just saying I don't understand how this is bad. Like, if people want to look better, let them do what they want to do to look better. Who cares?
Yeah.
Why would we judge? Why would we judge that? I honestly think it's like,
I guess one other an example of a person who is judged a lot and who may be taking looks maxing too far is the weird creepy guy who spends $2 million a year to look younger and better. And
well, of course, but that's like anything. If you go that extreme on anything, it's bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you take anything that far.
If you're stealing your child's blood while they sleep.
Yeah. If you're stealing your child's blood and then having sex with his girlfriend, I think it's probably bad. But I think if you take anything too far, it's bad. But I just think that like people wanting to look better and feel better, I don't know why we've turned that into a negative.
There's much less healthy things one could be doing with their time than trying to better their appearance.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if I want to chew on a piece of rubber like a dog toy because I think it's going to get my chin popping, what's the downside? Who cares? Like, what is the problem with that, actually?
Yeah, and I think people, it's one of those things where, like, if you read a lot and you study and you go to school and you become very intelligent and educated, no one accuses you of brain maxing or mind maxing. Because that's a virtuous, dignified way to spend your time.
No, that's true. It's true.
And then, you know, it could be considered vain, and it shows a lot about a person if you're choosing to spend that much of your time, focus, and energy only on your physical appearance. It might make you... It might signal to other people that you have failed to water your mental garden.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, that's like I said, if you take anything to that extreme, it's bad. Like whatever it is. Like if you only sit at home and read books to mind max, it's going to, that will also negatively affect you in many ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people will, it's the same. It's all the same.
But like it's interesting because when you mind max, then cool, hot people make fun of you and call you a nerd. But if you looks max, everyone's like, shut up, hottie.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's a different result. For sure. Result. It's a different feedback loop. I would agree with you on that. I would totally agree.
I was talking about Spoon Man. You know that?
Spoon Man.
The Soundgarden song.
Classic.
Carolyn was up in the kitchen doing anything but cooking. Am I right? This ball and chain. I'm just kidding. She cooks way more than I do and seems to be more of a foodfluencer than I am because I forget to film it. It's a different podcast. She had a couple spoons in her hand and she was kind of doing a thing like she was playing the spoons, having a little joke in the kitchen. We're silly and random like that. And I was like, oh, like Spoon Man. And she's like, what? And I was like, you know, Spoon Man, the song. And I was telling her like for a summer when that song was really big, every kid you knew would grab a couple spoons and then try to play the spoons,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, 100%,
like an old Appalachian 100%. Guy in a jug band.
No, that's 100%. Like, yeah, 100%. That was a thing for a summer. It was like that song was big. I mean, Soundgarden was big, but that song was big, and it did create a spoon smashing trend.
Yeah, and it was cool to see that. To me, it was very similar to like a Pogs.
Yes, where it's quick.
Something that is just so inexpensive. Everyone has it. You know, like a Pog is just a round piece of cardboard the size of a Ritz cracker. You know, everyone has. You know, you could be the poorest person in the world. Not. Literally, but everyone's got two spoons to rub together, and you could be a part of this
movement,
viral
this
movement. And what I was telling her, or why I brought that up is like I was trying to think of all these interesting things, and maybe it could be an idea for a documentary or a book or something. But these types of things that went viral before going viral was a thing.
Don't make me go long on fidget spinners.
I'm talking about a time before things went viral, like whatever, you know, pre-social media, when things would organically by word of mouth and maybe television and radio or whatever
become
the version of viral was before viral existed.
Yeah, Pogs is a good one. I think Hacky Sack is kind of one of those too.
Yeah, maybe a yo-yo.
Yeah, oh, yo-yo for sure. But yo-yo was always dorky. Hacky Sack somehow was cool for a second.
That's true. That's true. But
which is depressing.
Yeah, those are the things that I really yearn for and I kind of miss. I mean, I guess like nowadays it's like Wordle or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I guess, yeah. But I mean, it's almost impossible for things to... Nothing exists like that because it's all coming from the internet.
I don't know, but you know, I'm sure our marketers who are listening to How Long Gone can figure out a way to tap into that, and you can hire them Jeans consulting services if you'd like to set up a 3-month contract. I've got a lot of runway right now.
All right, How Long Gone? howlonggone.com is the website. And I can't wait to podcast at a very early hour next week with you, Jason. Oh, I believe that the recording time for me is 5 a.m.
You're going to be running hot.
I'm going to be on my Wahlberg, getting up at 2:30, you know, hit the gym, have a coffee, shower, and be in the
belly full of budae jjigae
and be ready. Yeah, exactly.
Ready to go.
I'm gonna have so much. My breath's gonna smell like kimchi through the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Good for your gut health.
I'm looking forward to this rise and grind podcast style. It feels like my final form, kind of.
Well, I hope it's not your final form because I don't like it. I mean, we've talked about it. It's bittersweet for me.
Well, this is extreme.
Yeah, obviously. It is. No, 5 is extreme, even for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's extreme.
Even for a grinder like you.
My guess is I'm going to be...
Speaking of grinder, people over at Fellow Grinders, hit me back. You guys are ghosting me and it's not cool.
What are you talking about? A weed grinder?
No. Coffee.
Oh, I see. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean
to. No, they reached out saying they would love to send me one. And then when I replied, I got a bounce back email on that person. That person no longer worked there. And then
they found out that this person offered one to them jeans. They said, nah, you're out of here.
I don't think I was the cause of this person's termination.
We can't be sure.
Oh, dear God. Could you imagine? But like every other case like this, the new person who was replacing that person, maybe not as big of a fan of DJ Them Jeans, or maybe didn't even know who I was.
Yeah, that's a grim but realistic possibility.
Yeah.
All right, How Long Gone? We're back next week with more podcasts with some guests that we're pretty excited about, as long as they all show up.
Yeah, it's a tough time for our podcasters. Make sure you give them sympathy right now, but I think they're both going to happen. It's two women. One for them jeans, I guess.
Yeah, these are neither for me, but I'm not mad at either as well.
Oh, you ain't mad. I know for a fact you ain't mad, you little bitch. HowLongGone.com's website. We got a few more Nalgene's left in stock. I think everything else is sold out. We're going to do a restock on some other shit in a little while, though. We got to let the smoke settle a little bit.
Let it burn.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Okay, bye.